Okay, kids, I don't know if you heard, but earlier on, Mr. McFetheridge had a very important question. I've lost my notes. Where's my notes? The question was, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Now, everyone say your dad's name out loud. You ready? One, two, three, go. Okay, you all know who your daddy is. But in that Bible passage, we had a very important thing that told us who our daddy is, who our father is. Did anyone hear in the Bible passage who our father is? God. God's our father in a special way. We've got dads, but we've also got a special father called God, and he is our father because he has made us part of his family. He has made us part of his family. Now, who here is 10 years old? You're 10 years old, are you? Come up the front. Imagine that you were 10 years old and all of a sudden you had to swap to go into a different family. Would that be strange? Why would it be strange? What would be some of the strange things about going to a different family? Because you wouldn't know the people, would you? And what are some of the things that they might do differently in that family, do you think? They might not like the things that you like. Do you think, they might not have horses? Huh? They might like other things instead of horses, like golf. How strange would that be? They might be really cranky, but all sorts of things could be. It'd be very difficult, wouldn't it, to go into a new family when you're 10 years old. But if you went into a new family, thanks, you can sit down. If you went into a new family when you were 10 years old, you'd have to change, there'd be some things that would change, wouldn't there? There'd be lots of things that would change. And the way that you live would be changed. Now, we have been brought into a new family. Now, I'm going to get you to go and sit with Mum and Dad because they've got a white sheet and it's got some spaces in that white sheet for you to fill in. So go and sit with Mum and Dad and grab a pen or a pencil and the white sheet that Mum or Dad have got, and I'll try and find my sermon notes while you're doing that. Back pocket. Rhonda found them. There they are. My back pocket. How about that? Good on you, Rhonda. Yeah, if you went into a new family, you would have new surroundings, you have new rules, new parents, new holidays, different sorts of clothes. Everything would change if you went into a new family. But today we're going to talk about becoming part of God's family and what changes that means for us. Because in verse 29, if you have a look at your Bibles, that the bit that Tracy read in verse 29, it says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. So that means that everyone who's a Christian has been born again. You've been given a new life to live with God as part of his family. Put your hands up if you were born once. Everyone should have their hands up. Put your hand up if you were born once. Well, unless you want to say, be technical, put your hand up if you've been born twice. Some people are tricking me. Okay. I should have said born at least once. If you've been born twice, because we've been born again as part of God's family. And how have we been born again as part of God's family? Is it because we've done the right thing? Is it because we're good people? No, it's because of this. Carly, can you show me the next screen, please? Because of God's love. Did you see that in verse 1 of chapter 3? It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. It's because of God's love that we can be called his children. Not because of good things that we've done, but because God loves us so much. That's why we are God's children. And we can live in a new relationship with God, not as his enemies, but now as his children, because of his great love for us. And our lives will change dramatically because of that. We are born because of God's lavish love. Now, Howard before tried to explain lavishness for us, and I didn't know he was going to do that, because I'm going to try and explain what lavishness means. Because I like, who likes gravy? Put your hand up if you like gravy. Yeah, love gravy. Gotta love gravy. And sometimes I get served up a baked dinner. And on the meat, on that baked dinner, someone has very carefully put a bit of gravy on that meat. And it's a little bit, and it's not quite enough to go over all the meat, but it's a little bit of gravy on the meat. And I love gravy, and I would like to see gravy all over my whole plate. Gravy on my meat, gravy on my veggies, gravy on everything. And that's what it means to lavish gravy on your plate. You put it everywhere. You put it, lots of it on. Not just a little bit on your meat, but you put it all over the plate. You lavish gravy on the plate. And that's what God has done for us. He hasn't just given us a little bit of love in a little bit of our life. He has lavished his love on us. Isn't that a great thought? God has far more love for you than you will ever know. You can never get to the end of God's love. He has lavished his love on us. So on your white sheets, make sure you fill in the boxes. And we've got God's love. That's the reason that we are God's children. And that's how we can know for sure that we are God's children. How do we know that we are God's children? Because of God's great love for us. Not because of things we have done, but because of God's love for us. Now, it's one thing to know that we are God's children, but the next question is, how do we show that we are God's children? How do we show that we are God's children? Because becoming a child of God is going to change us. Just like if you were 10 years old and you went into a different family, things would change. The way you live would change. The clothes you wear, the holidays you go on, the food you eat, all of those sorts of things would change. And when we become God's children, things will change for us. And they'll change for the better. There's some good verses in this passage that try to explain it to us. Have a look at verse 3. This is the first change it says. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So just like Jesus is pure, when we become part of God's family, we've got to purify ourselves. There's two ways that happens. Firstly, it happens because of what has been done for us. Remember back in chapter 1, some of the adults will remember this. It said that we are purified by the blood of Jesus, his son. So when Jesus dies on the cross, that purifies us from our sin. That's been done for us. Jesus has purified us. But the second part of purifying ourselves is to say no to sin, to say no to the things that we know are wrong. So we have to live like people who are forgiven. Jesus has taken away our sin. We don't want to hold on to it anymore. Jesus has given us a new life. We don't want to go back to the old life. Just say you ate certain foods and those foods made you sick. Maybe you are celiac. Maybe you need to go on a gluten-free diet, okay? You eat some foods and those foods make you sick. And so you go on a gluten-free diet and now you're not sick anymore. Do you want to go back and eat those foods that made you sick? Why would you? You don't want to go back to eating those foods that make you sick. And so you're going to live a new life with a new diet. When we become God's children, we don't want to go back to the old ways that are going to destroy our relationship with God. We live a new life in the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you a story, and this is not a true story. It's one I made up, but it could be true if you think about it. There was a young boy who grew up in India, and he grew up in a very poor part of the community. We're going to see a picture. In the slums in India. And this boy's mum and dad died when he was young. But no one wanted him to live with them, none of his cousins or his friends, because they had too many kids already and they couldn't afford to look after their own kids. And so this boy had no one to live with. The only food that he ate was the food that he could find at the garbage tip, the scraps and the yucky food that was there. And this food made him sick. You know, the only person who took any notice of this little boy was a wicked old man. And the old man said, I'll give you some food to eat, but you've got to steal jewelry for me. And he used to send him to the houses of rich people to steal jewelry. This is very risky though. Sometimes the people would wake up during the night when the boy was stealing their jewelry and he'd be beaten. And he had lots of scars on his back from the times he'd been beaten for stealing their jewelry. He had big lumps on his head, black eyes, cracked ribs. And people would call him terrible names. And they would tell him that he was useless and worth nothing. What a sad life for that boy. But one day he was rescued. A family came to the slums and they wanted to adopt him into their family. And they took him to their beautiful home. And they washed his wounds and they washed his body and they made him clean and well again. And after a while, the scars started to disappear. And they fed him good food that didn't make him sick anymore. And they gave him clean water to drink. And he could sleep peacefully throughout the whole night. And you know, the dad in that family, he even started calling him Sonny Boy. You're my son. Well, a year later, this boy saw one of his cousins from the slums. And his cousin said, come back to your old life. Come back to the slums. That's where you belong. That's where you come from. Come back to the slums. Who thinks he should go back? No one. You wouldn't go back, would you? Why would you go back to the old life when you've been given a new life that is so much better? That's what John's saying about Christians. We've been given a new life. God has made us part of his family through his great love for us. Why would we go back to the old life? Don't continue in sin, he says. Don't keep on sinning. Live and practice righteousness. We're going to sing a song in a minute that says, practice being godly. Practice living God's way. Practice living the right way. Act like you belong to the God who fathered you. You want to be like your dad? Who wants to be like their dad? Who wants to be like their mum? Yeah, lots of people do. But it's good to be like your dad, but it's much better to be like your father in heaven. Practice being like your father in heaven. Live for righteousness. Because God's children practice righteousness. Now I need a couple of volunteers to come up the front. And we're going to play a bit of a game. So I need two young people, maybe 10 years old or 8 years old or something like that. They've got to be able to read pretty well. Okay, Olivia is one. Come up the front, Olivia. Oh, I've got two Olivias. Two Olivias in one. How about that? Yep, two Olivias. Do you want to come up the front? No? You don't have to. This is a good game. Okay, here we have, what's this called? The sin bin. And if we're going to get rid of sin, not practice sin, but practice righteousness, then there's some things that we're going to have to put into the sin bin. Okay? So if it's something that's wrong, we want to put the sin in the bin. Now, this goes on your sheet as well. You can fill in the words. The first one there is put sin in the bin. But if it's something good, then we want to practice being godly. Okay? So the first thing we're going to do is if we find something bad in our life, we're going to put the sin in the bin. But if we find that there's something good that we can do, then we're going to practice being godly. Now, girls, you'll see all around the stage up here, there's bits of white paper that are face down. They just look like bits of white paper, but on the other side, there's something written on them. And what we're going to do is you're going to get a bit of white paper and you're going to bring it over to us. And if it's something good, then everyone here, you're going to read out what it is. If it's something good, everyone here is going to say, practice being godly. Okay? But if it's something that's not good, then we're going to say, put sin in the bin. Rightio. So you've got to help us out with this. Girls, go and grab a piece of paper each. Yes, you put it in there. Okay. Olivia, you go first. Ha ha. Tricked you, didn't I? Read out for us what it says. Disobeying mum and dad, what do we say?
Put the sin in the bin.
Okay, put it in the bin.
Being mean and hating people. Put the sin in the bin.
Very good. Okay, go and grab another one. Let's see what else we've got. Go.
Being greedy.
Very good.
Controlling my anger.
Okay, fold that one up and put it in your pocket. Rightio. That's one on the keep. Olivia, you can go and get another one. And Olivia, you can go and get another one too. But put it in your pocket first. Rightio. What do we got?
Saying nasty things.
Very good. Okay, you're doing well. You've got two good ones. You've got to find some good ones, Olivia. You can have a bit of a peek if you want to. Quick, go. Okay, go, Olivia.
Saying good things. Practicing
godly.
Okay, practicing
good one. Practicing righteousness. Practicing godly. That's good reading. Put it in your pocket. Alrighty, eh? Oh, you're just going to leave it there, eh? You can make a pile there. Righty, yeah, go and get another one. What else have we got?
Sharing. Obeying mum
and dad. Okay, keep those ones. Don't put them in the bin. We need those ones. Especially that bit about obeying mum and dad. Righty, yeah.
Getting angry.
Very good. You didn't even need them to tell you that one, did you? It's no use telling lies. We're going to put those sins in the bin.
Cheating.
Put the
sin in the bin. Turning your back on sin.
Ah, well done. They picked that one. These people out here aren't too bad, are they? Last one.
Truthful.
Okay, fold those up, put them in your pockets, take them home, and make sure you practice them. But I think you could tell everyone that they need to practice those things as well. What do you reckon? They're good things to practice, aren't they? We want to look at the good things that God has given us to do and practice those things. Obeying mum and dad, being truthful, being honest. Saying good things about people. Those are the things that we want to practice. But there's lots of things that we need to put in the bin, don't we? Put the sin in the bin. Okay. Well, I think that's about it for me. Howard's going to come up, but I'm going to pray for us as Howard comes up. Father God, we thank you that you have made us part of your family, that you loved us so much that you called us your children. Father God, I pray that you would help us to live as part of your family, to show people that we belong to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to practice being godly and to put sin in the bin, to get rid of it, because it doesn't belong with us when we live with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.